Hey, zit face, go home and make a clear silk sandwich.
Welcome to Alfsplaining, already described by podcasts about Alf magazine as one of them. Wait, one of them that there is.
It's my proudest achievement, that.
And who are you?
I am John Matthews, but more importantly, who are you?
Well, I appear to be Ben Baker, so says the tag in my prison reform outfit, which I wear today. In case you've not joined us before, and not entirely sure why you'd start here, but it's going to be good. It's going to be a great episode, because this is us talking about the Alf episode, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue, originally aired in America November 17th, 1986. But was it called in German, John?
In Germany, it was known as Eifersucht nach Noten, which, according to my translator, means jealous for grades.
Mm.
So that might have been mistranslated, but so...
Yes, I mean, the first part makes sense, as we'll come to. But grades...
That's what it says.
Okay, if anyone knows a better translation of that, let us know via the usual pigeon sort of releases and that sort of stuff, you know, just fire. Five stuff our way. Alf, so ratings-wise.
Oh, let's see.
Normally, see, we're about 15 million, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
21.5 million people watched this one.
Wait, what? What?
It was the 12th most watched programme of the week because of a special Family Ties as a lead-in.
Oh.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
I'm excited that Alf is becoming a hit. And I'm surprised it's this episode. It's a shame it's this episode that everybody watched.
I'm glad you've said that.
Nevertheless, you can't complain about viewers.
No. So, directed by Tom Patchett, again. And written by Jerry Stahl, whose name has become a little bit sort of infamous when it comes to not just Alf, but writing in general. He was a writer on stuff like 30-something and Moonlighting. And according to his Wikipedia page, he wrote an episode for Twin Peaks that co-creator Mark Frost described as an absolute car wreck. He turned in a completely incomprehensible, unusable, incomplete script a few days late, and as I recall, there were bloodstains on it.
That sounds perfect for Twin Peaks.
Yeah, because Jerry Stahl was a massive heroin addict. And he wrote a book which they made into a film. Both were called Permanent Midnight. And in one scene of the movie, the program that Jerry works on, not dissimilar to Alf, obviously they couldn't get the licensing. So you have Mr. Chompers instead.
Hello, Jerry! This show sucks, and you're the only motherfucking help us.
He's freaking me out, Craig. He's freaking me out with the puppet.
Okay, we start the first act with a flashback to see Mr. Chomper seeing Brad and Katie having their first fight, only we age Brad and Katie back 5 years, and then begin the second act exactly the same way. We have little Mr. Chompers here goading everybody on.
He goes to the freezer.
Come on, man. Give it to me.
To prepare the mandolin flesh transformation.
I love that.
It's better.
Yeah, I think that's also the only time in pop culture history that Paul Fusco has refused to allow Alf to appear on something.
I don't think unreasonably. And as you've sort of alluded to, this is the first stinker of an episode. This is a bad episode.
It's a bewildering episode. It's a baffling episode. But how many top Willy moments are there in this episode?
There is some premium Willy in this episode. But yeah, so far the most watched episode is this, which is unfortunate. But let's get to the series itself. And we have another cold open. And the family are having dinner when Lynn gets a call from Scott Maynard, which is, a wonderfully American 80s name.
She is. She gets this call on one of the 4 million phones they've had to install since Alf moved in. If you recall a few episodes ago, they're all complaining about having to share the same phone. Now it turns out
they're all on the chat.
They've got phones in every single wall of the house, it seems. Mm. So she's having a conversation in the background as Alf is finishing off his dinner by daintily dabbing his mouth with a serviette.
Lynn's getting a call from someone she has a crush on, and he needs a place for his band gear. So she's very excited about that. Who isn't excited about that is Alf, because they had plans that evening.
Yeah, why that evening? Because they kind of lived together, so they could do this at any point, but nevertheless.
Yeah, and that basically sets off the plot for this episode, which is that Alf becomes jealous of Lynn's new boyfriend. And that feels wrong to say out loud.
They reference this themselves in the show later, do Willie and Kate, but it sort of comes out of nowhere. I mean, each Alf episode is a separate entity. There's no story arc really between them. So, like Alf developing a crush on Lynn over a series of episodes would just not have happened anyway.
No.
But it does seem to sort of land on the kitchen table, this plot, with a resounding thud.
I mean, it also comes after an episode where we found out that Alf is in his 200s, so...
Alf is in his 200s, and has a romantic interest in space as well. At the previous episode, he's trying to get off with a blind woman. So, you know, this series of episodes is very much setting up Alf the Lothario.
It is. And what's weird is that in that blind woman episode, Lynn was there knocking on the door saying, oh, don't worry, it's the 16-year-old I live with. But it's not like that. That's the joke. It's not like that until like three episodes later where apparently it is. So it's scene one is Alf doing peeping in that sitcom sort of way. So love interest comes round with a sweater to equal that blind woman. Magnificent knitwear.
I have some things to say about this sweater.
please do.
Should we cut? Firstly, it's like the jumper is trying to use up all the Commodore Amiga special effects before the trial subscription runs out. It's the sort of jumper you can only view through a pinhole and a piece of cardboard. It looks like all the rejected ITV franchise logos stitched together. It looks like the carpet from an abandoned Wetherspoons. And I was surprised at this point that the Ockmonics weren't banging on the window telling him to turn it down. It is a staggering jumper. And did I give it Mel Max very perfection as the character of the episode, this jumper? I don't think I did, but it's the sort of jumper that should have its own credit at the end. We could talk about this jumper for hours, but we need to get on.
I'd say it did more acting than the person who played this person, Scott Kurt McKinney, who I've looked and apparently he's just been in a load of soaps, but also the film No Retreat, No Surrender with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I've seen that.
Oh, Video Shop classic, pal.
Jason Stilwell wanted to be a champion, but he's having a tough time at school.
Look, no excuses here, mister. Let's see what you're made of. Fight!
And a tougher time at life.
Stay out of the way, punk. She's mine.
But Jason has a dream.
Someday I'm going to be just like him.
He needs a little help. And a lot of guidance.
Now your training begins.
Again, I think the best thing that Scott has to do is that he basically announces what the new name of his band, previously the G-Men, were called.
Yeah.
And that's...
The Doors.
The Doors.
It's a strange joke, because you could pick any band that they stole the name from, and there must have been a cooler, more up-to-date reference than The Doors, but I don't know.
That's what Lynn says. Oh, everyone who will have forgotten about the original Doors, which, of course, is a hilarious joke because nobody has. And indeed, in 4 years, The Doors will be bigger than ever and quite MTV adjacent with the film and everything coming out.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, he's clearly quite dim and because he doesn't notice Alf, as we say, is peeping. He's doing peeping. In that way where people like see someone behind them and they go, no, get out of here. And the person in the room goes, oh, okay, you know, I'm sorry, I am. You know, it's that kind of absolute nonsense.
Yeah, it's standard fare. You know what's going on.
Yeah. So we cut to inside the house now. And Alf is obviously...
He's wallpapering the windows.
For reasons. We don't need reasons. Who needs reasons when you've got Melmacians?
It's unclear. It's unclear what the point of this is, but...
I assumed it had something to do with the plot, but no, it doesn't.
Not really, no. I mean, it's a throwback to the earlier chat about decorating, but papering bits of Christmas wrapping paper, it seems to be, onto the windows does not seem a good use of anybody's time.
Especially Brian's, because it means Brian has to be in the scene.
Oh, yeah.
So Kate comes, obviously, appalled by such antics, but then Alf starts laying it on thick, saying, "You're a beautiful woman." And no, I really do mean that. And he's not saying it in a comedy way. He's generally saying, like, you're a good-looking woman.
She takes him seriously as well. She doesn't assume he's being sarcastic.
And he obviously is asking for love advice to date the 16-year-old. It wasn't an issue several weeks earlier. So... No. she doesn't realise that yet.
There's an interesting moment. I don't know if you're allowed a top Willy moment off screen.
Well, mine is off screen.
Because Alf asks, "What did Willy do to sweep you off your feet?" Mm-hmm. And what did Willy do to sweep her off her feet?
He filled Kate's car with 500 tins of cream of mushroom soup.
Because of course he did.
So you're saying I should do something pathetic?
Pathetic. It was romantic.
What would you suggest other than soup?
Now, there's a lot wrong with it. I looked into this. Now, 500 cans, that's like 30 grams average minimum. That's 150 kilos of soup. Now, that's not insanely heavy. A car could easily carry 150 kilograms of soup. Mm. It's like two extra passengers in it, really. But that's not counting the carrying, the loading, how he got it into the car in the first place, and the fact it would cost, in today's money, about $400 to get 500 cans of soup.
That was my next question. What would be the cost of those?
If you're doing that, she likes cream mushroom soup, I'll get her some cream mushroom soup. I'll get her 50 cans, that'll be, or maybe 100. You'd stop at 100, even if you got that far. You wouldn't do 500.
It's like, where do you sort of draw the line on funny? Rule of funny, you know? Actually, visually, like 500 is funny to say.
But you imagine that.
But we didn't need to see it. It was an unseen top Willy moment.
Now we've clarified we are allowed off-screen top Willies.
I also wrote that down as mine. So,
My top Willy comes later in the show, but I put that as a potential. I wasn't sure if it was allowed.
I've got a secondary one, but as I say, it'd be spoilers to jump in with that just now.
We don't want to go too far,
especially when Alf's about to do a poem which begins, "There was a young man from Venus," which I think is quite edgy for an 8 p.m. family sitcom, you know, in the mid '80s, but.
Yeah. We said that we've got some quite clever lines have been thrown away now. Some intellectual stuff has been thrown away, and now a bit of smutty stuff has been sort of thrown away now. And I think it's this underlying foundations of Alf that makes it me think it's a lot cleverer than it pretends it is.
Mm. We've got some more of Alf's skills put on show in the next scene, where he's trying to fix the keyboard that the young man has brought in from his band.
Then this is a lovely, great moment when Willy walks in and goes, "Alf," and Alf goes, "What?" So even he's starting to take the piss out of Willy's nasal drone.
See why Max Wright had that breakdown?
Hey, he got a big lull from me.
"Alf, what?" "I thought the rule was you were to ask before you use my tools."
"Sorry. May I?"
"Yes, you may."
"See? You're still in charge."
"What do you need the tools for, anyway?"
"I'm trying to fix Scott's piano. He must have broken it when he dragged it in here."
"Alf, you have to turn it on."
"Oh.
Didn't you learn about electronic music on Melmac?"
"Ancient history wasn't my best subject."
Yeah. Alf doesn't know what a synthesizer is.
No, which is odd.
Especially as he's trying to fix it.
Yeah, especially because in a few scenes we're going to see him playing it perfectly. Virtuoso style. But he's at the keys, and I think possibly Alf's big, clumsy gloves for hands possibly stop him at this point from revealing his musical skills. So Willie does jump in with a bit of his own.
Which he wants to do in the key of E-flat because it's more euphonious. Mm. And Willie improvises a very short song. It starts off sounding like he's about to play the Hill Street Blues thing. But immediately it turns into a medieval reel.
And tell me what you see. Just another pretty face.
That's nice, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the lovely.
In any other episode, that would have been the top Willie moment.
Yeah, I agree. Especially because when Alf reveals his poem, apparently half of it is I can't get no satisfaction.
Yeah. Again, a good gag from Willie. Shouldn't that be I can't get any satisfaction?
Well, Willie should know what that is. Willie is of the culture, will know what the song is at least.
He's not saying it in a sarcastic, jokey manner. He genuinely has never heard.
Yeah.
I can't get no satisfaction.
And Alf's never seen a keyboard, so even though we've established he played the piano beautifully several episodes previous. Mm. So, but you'd have to plug it in, I suppose. So there are complaints
From Mrs. Ockmonock,
who again we've not seen. We saw loads at the start, her and her husband, and then we haven't seen them for 5 episodes in a row.
If you recall from the last episode when Alf was about to leave the series, he signed off with "Good night, Mrs. Ockmonock, wherever you are," like she'd possibly died or something. Or run away.
Well, that's apparently a reference.
Is it?
It's Jimmy Durante's catchphrase, I believe.
Oh, is it?
Something like that. Hold on.
That's an impenetrable pop culture reference.
I'm glad somebody penetrated it. No, stop. No, yo, stop.
No,
hey,
no, yeah,
no, Mrs. Mrs.
No.
Mrs. Stop. Oh, hey. No, in fact, I'll return you. When Alfie said his goodbye, so everyone says, "Good night, Miss Ockmonock, wherever you are." This was a reference to the line Jimmy Durante used to say at the end of his radio programme, "Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are."
Mm.
So presumably that was a pop culture reference which people got in 1986.
Yeah.
I did not care to.
Well, I was wondering what my pop culture reference was for this episode.
I've passed mine. I leave it till the end.
Yeah, we'll wait. We'll reassess at the end of the episode, yeah.
So, yes, the Ockmonocks are complaining about... Well, Mrs. Ockmonock is complaining about the music from Alf in the garage. Mm. But let's be more clear here. This is entirely about Willie trying to get his end away. And Kate's like, "Are you sure Alf's not going to come in?" And he's like, "Don't worry, baby. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, it's exciting seeing seeing Willie all revved up,
amorous,
hepped up on whatever it was. But before this, Kate has revealed to Willie that she thinks Alf has a crush on her. Now, at which point Willie, how do we put this? He pisses himself laughing, basically.
Yeah, he does. But he uses it to his advantage.
He does. He creeps in. He sleazes his way into Kate's affections.
Mm. And he's just about to seal the deal when Alf reappears. And obviously, now we establish that, no, it's not Kate that Alf fancies. It's Lynn.
Mm.
Again, the 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And honestly, they're not that bothered.
No. They're, initially, Kate does seem more... insulted by this.
Crestfallen, yes, about it not being her.
In the next scene, she just clarified that she's concerned about the alien in their house, their 229-year-old alien in their house, lusting after their 16-year-old child.
Well, my next thing I've written down is, have we established Alf penis?
Tonight, on Alf's Planning, it's Laughs Ahoy. There's the quote for the trailer.
I think people need to know these things. Obviously, I assume...
You've not looked into it. You've not been on DeviantArt to look at some fan art of Alf with his...
grep.
His mini Alf out.
Oh, I like it. It'd be like the alien from Alien's tongue. But I assume we'll come to the Melmacian way of procreation at some point.
I don't think we will. Not if I can help it.
I mean, it might come up.
It will not come up.
You won't see it going in, is what. But you might hear it. This is now a running thing that Willie is like, "I'm not giving up. I am getting my hand away." which was my other Top Willy moment, basically. Throughout this, he's trying to get a shack.
He's got his famous red pyjamas on, which are different red pyjamas from the ones we saw in the last episode. I noticed.
Apparently they are the third heat when it comes to...
These are the sexy red pyjamas.
Yeah, getting Kate all hot and bothered.
They're not quite challenging Scott's jumper for ghastliness, but they are getting there.
They are of the era.
You can see it from space, quite frankly.
So this is an oddity. So Willie's clearly trying to get his tops upstairs. And then we cut to outside the door where Lynn's just been brought back from a date with Scott. They had a lovely time. Clearly,
they're laughing a lot about whatever, something. I don't quite know what they're laughing about, but it seems they're happy.
You know, former boyfriend Lash is completely forgotten now.
Yep, absolutely not even mentioned.
So, yeah, seems a nice young man. But so why is Willie shouting insults at him through the door? It's not Willie, of course. It's a jealous Alf who is bellowing deeply unpleasant epithets.
How about it, Sequoia Nick? You're going to walk? What do I turn on the hose?
Look, Lynn, I better go. I don't want to get this jacket wet.
No, Scott.
It sounds like he means business here, really.
Look, he may not even be talking about you. Maybe he's watching a movie or fighting with my mom.
He calls your mom Sequoia.
Well, not very often.
Hit the road, Scott.
I think he means me, Lynn. See ya.
He does call him a yutz, which I kind of agreed with.
He's a very piss-weak character, but presumably better than Lash. But because this week Alf has a crush on her, it's not allowed. She comes in furious to see Alf with what can only be described as a big pile of bones.
Has he eaten the cat?
he has eaten something hefty, to say the least, which we never reference.
No. There's no mention of this whatsoever.
No. And because they're having a contretemps, Willie rushes down and Alf says, your robe's open, which to me suggested he had a bonk on. I know that's a very low thing to say, but there must have been a reason for that.
I concur. From the angle we were looking, we couldn't really see if Willie was indeed at full tumescence. But maybe Alf had a better angle.
This is why we don't always need HD TV in 5K. That's all I'm saying. It would be the thing which broke America, you know, like the day after, you know, when everyone... That popular nuclear film, but like Threads. This would be like the equivalent, I would say, seeing accidental outline of Max Wright's bulbous member.
Shocking scenes on American TV last night.
Yeah, I don't believe there is a God. Based on that.
No, not now.
So it all comes out in the open, obviously. It's, even for Alf, this is a piss-weak plot. This is very lazy, which I assume, if you're on heroin, is probably a thing.
Yeah, the plot is dragging itself ever closer to the point of this episode, which is coming up any second.
Yes.
The limp plot is almost like they've put something together just to do this next bit.
Yeah, so obviously all that noise Alf was making in the garage was making an 80s music video.
Now, as 50% of the Pound Shop boys, I have made pop videos in my garage, and it's not easy, even with a camera phone and a green screen and digital editing techniques. So for Alf to put something together with that massive camcorder and a VCR, it shows gumption at best.
I would say so, because not only is Alf... It's all the cliches of 80s videos in there. We've got bandanas, denim jackets, Motley Crue sort of poodle hair, ZZ Top beards. Mm. He even pretends to be Stevie Wonder at one point, which is... concerning.
Is that allowed?
No.
Is that allowed?
But, yeah, at least he doesn't brown up for it. I suppose he's already technically brown, so...
He is already. He does the head thing, and he's got the beads in his hair and stuff. According to the Alf Wiki, there's a list of everybody who Alf impersonates in this video.
Okay, so who would be... Because there's a rolled-sleeve saxophone-playing guy. Like, who's that meant to be?
They say that's Charlie Parker.
What?
He was quite sharp suited, was Charlie Barker. But it looks more 80s to me.
Yeah, no, it's a very 80s thing.
But the rocker was supposed to be Duff Rose McKagan from Guns N' Roses.
That's what the
Alf Wiki says.
That's too early for. I mean, Guns N' Roses were around then, but as we established with the name Lash, you know, I'd say Guns N' Roses didn't enter popular culture until sort of a year or two after.
I pondered the same thing, but then couldn't be bothered looking it up.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I refuse.
Obviously, we've got Elton John, we've got Bruce Springsteen, yeah. We've got the aforementioned Stevie Wonder and ZZ Top. Apparently the two drummers who were supposed to be John Bonham, which is fair, but also Bill Bruford from Yes, apparently.
What?
That's what it says on the Alf Wiki. Yeah. I did look at some pictures of Bill Bruford, and he may have worn some sleeveless T-shirts from time to time, but it didn't really strike me as being anything other than sort of a generic rock drummer. But maybe somebody knows more than I do.
I mean, most people know more than I do, but you know what? I'm going to check our old friend Ian Movie Database just to see what they say. Do you know trivia? Among the musicians that ALF portrays in the music video are Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Bruce Springsteen,
we know them,
ZZ Top, and Keith Moon.
Okay. Oh, that's bad.
No one was vomiting on their choking on their own vomit or crashing a Rolls Royce into a swimming pool. So I'm not entirely sure where anyone's getting any of this from.
There's still time. In case there are any dullards out there, and I assume some of our listeners are dullards, the synthesizers Alf was playing were the Oberheim OBXA and the Yamaha DX9. The Oberheim being a big synth that sold for around $5,000. So I'm hoping that Willie has some good security on his garage, what with all the synthesizers and oscilloscopes that he seems to have amassed in there.
It doesn't end in scopes, he's not interested. You know, he only puts the security on the scopes. Yeah. So Alf does this song, which I'm assuming is called You're the One Who's Out of This World.
It is indeed.
It's the build up to this, and it's rubbish. It's not a good song.
Terrible.
Take a look at me and tell me what you see, just another pretty face. Some clown from out of town who came to hang around and look a little out of place. You say you wonder what on earth I'm doing here. I'm only here to tell you, girl, I may be an unknown from the Twilight Zone, but you're the one who's out of this world.
Alf doing a novelty cash-in sing is a no-brainer at this point.
I assume that's what they had in mind. You know, a bit of crossover with MTV. Hip. Because looking back at adverts, Alf was pretty hip at this time. You know, even though it was a family sitcom, people watched it because of the snark and the kind of, you know, pop culture stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it wouldn't be far-fetched to imagine. I'm almost positive Alf would have done like a guest VJ slot or something.
Tonight on Friday Night Videos, your hosts are America's favorite aliens, Alf, and America's favorite court officer, Night Court's Richard Mull.
But the problem is with this as a novelty cash-in single, it's absolutely dreadful.
This crap.
Paul Fusco is no singer.
No.
And I think Alf Clausen wrote the music, and he is no pop writer, really.
No, understandably. It's not one Lynn over.
It goes on for some consideration. It goes on for the length of a full pop video.
Oh, yeah. No, this is just... It's very clear that we have so little in this episode.
Best will in the world, this could have made a good SNL sketch or something. Or a comic relief skit or something like that. You know, in the context of something else, Alf doing a multi-act pop video...
With computer graphics. Sorry, I just forgot. There is a brief select section of computer graphics coming out of the computer.
All of which look a bit like Scott's jumper, quite frankly.
A little bit bilious, yeah.
So to build an entire episode of it, a DVD extra had such things existed back then, this would have been fun for that. But,
yes.
I don't know what Alf could have released as a cash-in single other than this. I mean, it wasn't really a big thing in the mid-80s, was it?
I mean, every episode is named after a song. So,
yeah,
you know, it could have been Help Me Rhonda.
It could have been Help Me Rhonda with a famous backing band or something that could have got involved, or a Christmas song, or a...
Could
I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been that Chipmunk song that were cut out from the other episode.
But this is just... It was released as a 7-inch single.
What was this?
This You're the One Who's Out of This World. It was. It was a couple of years later, though. It was in 1988, apparently, at the theme of the B-side. But it doesn't seem to be on any major label or anything, and there's no real catalogue number or barcode or detail like that, which makes you wonder if it was like a fan club giveaway or something like that.
Or Fusco catalogue number one.
Fusco one.
Yeah.
But it did come out again last year as part of the Shout Factory DVD box set.
Oh, okay.
Although they had to redo the artwork.
Well, as like a special feely.
Yeah, it was a part of the box, the Super Deluxe edition of the ALF DVD box set last year. So it's part of the ALF culture and lore, but, you know, I don't know. I can't get my head around it.
No. And again, part of the thing about this is that ALF's done this in an evening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's done it in the... I assume this is all meant to be occurring in the same day.
Yeah, it was in the garage, wasn't he? And Willie was there doing his song. And then Lynn came back. Oh, hang on, no. Lynn came... Was it the same night Lynn went out on a date? Was it the following day?
Yeah, I think it was the following.
So yeah, he's had 24 hours to piece it together.
Yeah.
It's an ambitious project.
It's an evening. It is. And, you know, I would say a failed project. As someone who has produced pop records, hit pop records, no less.
Four?
I wasn't going to bring up a number, you know.
Well, five if you count the top 30 in Germany, which I do.
Well, obviously. You know, we're not going to discuss your royalty rate, you know.
It's poor.
But what would you have done for an ALF? Because obviously there is a Ben Liebrand-based ALF record a few years later.
The show is on. Our eyelids are growing heavy. You are getting sleepy. You are no longer a cat. You are a bagel.
Dude, hey, you scared me. You ought to wear a bell.
What's going on here?
What happened here? I was just teaching Lucky how to tell time. Show Willie what you've learned.
You were hypnotizing him, weren't you?
Okay, you caught us. I'm trying to help Lucky beat his smoking problem. Just kidding!
This is a thing, I would have... definitely done that, and maybe I got ALF to recite a few new lines or something specifically for the records. It sounds like they were sampled from the TV show, but they're actually a rap or something, and get a singer in to do a some sort of sing-along ALF big girly chorus. Yeah, and just make a pop record about it like that, because the Ben Liebrand record is a terrible wasted opportunity.
But
it's all intro. And samples of ALF and...
Well, it's not dissimilar to Absolutely Fabulous, where most of the samples are from, like, one episode.
Yeah, badly sampled. you can hear bits of crowd audience laughter on them that suddenly cut off. It's not like they've trimmed the samples, clearly. The Pet Shop Boys sort of had a more of an understanding of how pop record worked, but it's also my least favourite Pet Shop Boys record, don't get me wrong. But the Ben Liebrand ALF thing, it's such a good... It's like ALF making a record, it's a no-brainer. Sample ALF, stick it on a dance record, everybody will go mental for it.
Maybe that's the problem. You said dance record, that's not what you made.
No, it was not danceable. But it was 86. 86, I mean, if it had been a year, 2 years later, maybe it could have been a bit more housey-housey and a bit more dance-flavoured. And maybe a couple of years earlier, it could have been a bit more dance-flavoured as well. You know, sort of electro-sounding.
I would love to hear ALF's New Order-inspired Electro Odyssey. Quite frankly, I think that would have been beautiful. Hey, Willie, how does it feel?
How does it feel to eat me like a cat?
It writes itself. So, Lynn's not into it, and she lets him down gently. And it's sweet, but I just think the whole thing remains icky. And she gives him a little peck on the cheek just to say, you're out of the world to me, you know. And as obviously the peck on the cheek happens, Kate comes down and goes, a face. She does a face. Yeah.
She sees them snogging on the couch. Well, or she thinks them snogging on the couch.
Which, that's not referenced again. Just left. So we have a nice sort of scene.
Well, this is my Top Willy moment. And I think we should all be upstanding for what I think is the greatest Top Willy moment possibly of the series. Yes, which, we cut back to the garage. Alf is at the camera again. Obviously, some pop video shenanigans are going on. And we see Willy in a silver blouse and the Elton John glasses playing, apparently himself, and apparently live, Saturday Night's All Right for Fight.
Now that's where the smoke pot's gonna go off, okay?
Gee, I don't know, Alf. This is just supposed to be a little something for Kate.
Don't think little. There are no small videos.
Just small directors.
Sanity! Without having to credit Elton John or pay him any royalties.
Indeed. And not only was that my secondary Top Willy moment, I think for the first time, Willy is the MVP of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Simply for all the times he tries to get little Willy wet, quite frankly. And just, he's great in all of this. And this Elton John ending is just a lovely cap.
In that case, I agree with you that Willy is the MVP because of all that. Unless I'm allowed...
A sentient jumper.
A sentient jumper.
I mean, yeah.
Right, in that case, the jumper is my MVP of the episode.
It out-acted the person wearing it, so...
I mean, he was the only extraneous character, wasn't he, Scott? There was nobody else in this one, so
no.
It's slim pickings for extra characters. But so the jumper gets it. The jumper wins me round.
That's fair. This jumper, sadly, cannot be an impenetrable pop culture reference of the week because it's referencing awful jumpers.
Yeah.
So I've got two possibles here.
Go on, then.
At one point, when obviously Alf brings up the matters of love, Kate says, are you still writing letters to Connie Chung?
Yes. I wrote that down. I've got it written here. It says pop culture reference ? But she was a huge star in the US.
Yes, I mean she was at the time on NBC News at Sunrise, and she'd leave NBC a few years later and become an absolutely massive star even more.
For us in the UK, it's an impenetrable pop culture reference. But she's one of those names, like, as is tradition in these sort of shows, that there are references in sitcoms that we are aware of these people, rather than knowing them in the reality.
And likewise, Alf references Hee-Haw, which is something we know through references.
That is my pop culture reference.
Right.
I'll call you if I ever audition for Hee-Haw.
Yeah.
An impenetrable pop culture reference if ever there was one.
Yeah. So basically, Hee-Haw is... that episode of The Simpsons where Homer's managing Lurline Lumpkin,
yes.
He takes her on a sketch show, which is very low-class country music and sort of rural humour. That. It's that.
Yeah.
You mean old Charlie Monk has built a moonshine still in the back of his car?
Yep. He's just driving himself to drink.
apparently it ran from 1969 to 1993.
You are kidding me.
No, it was in syndication.
Wasn't that the sort of thing that would have been on for like two seasons in 1973 or something like that?
Well, it was on actual CBS, I think, for like three seasons. Then they gave it up and it went into syndication and it just was in the culture forever. And it's all stuff like, hey, Jethro, I heard you bought a new horse today. No, Ethro, I bought a new house today. Which is a house.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to check this out.
Yeah, I'm not doing a Hee-Haw episode by episode. So there you go, another episode of Alf-splaining all taken care of, and hopefully next week's episode won't be quite as upsetting as that one.
Bewildering.
Don't forget, you can find us on all the social medias at Alf-splaining, and until next time, I've been Ben Baker.
And I'm still John Matthews. Join us. Have they all gone?
Do you sing yourself?
Sometimes I do. Mm. I'm trying to land a recording contract now.
Yeah?
I write all my original music.
punk?
What'd you call me?